On today's episode, the Cubs get another sweep, this time over the Reds. We say our goodbyes to Jason Hayward and our first ever Mailbag Monday. It's all straight ahead.
Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Cubs. Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. As we enter the episodes in the final week of the regular season, but first we celebrate yet another sweep by the hottest team in baseball, the Chicago Cubs.
Matt, I thought of something today.
Right?
If the Cubs sweep the Reds, do I have to keep the broom in the background for the rest of the year? Until we start. I think I do.
As the executive producer of this show, I'll have to think about that.
Yeah, right.
That's a big question. We should pose that to the fans tonight or tomorrow night.
Well, no, I'm posing it right now.
Absolutely. I know you are.
If the Cubs go into Great American Ballpark and sweep that you-know-who team, I think I have to keep that in my background until they lose a baseball game. And unfortunately, that won't happen until March 30th.
Well, they'll win.
Or at the soonest.
Well, yeah, right. Because they're going to win the opener next year.
Yeah, all right.
They're going to start they're going to win 2 out of 3 in that first series.
They did that this year, too.
But, wow, that's an incredible question.
Yeah, I just thought of that.
Well, I think it's very possible. Maybe we tweet that tonight.
Yeah,
listeners.
All right.
Boy, do I love the broom, and the Cubs got it out again this weekend with wins over the Reds, 6-1, 2-1, and 8-1. Listen to this, Sam. The Cubs have won 7 games in a row. They've gotten 2 sweeps in a row. They're 15-4 since September 12th and are 38-29 in the second half. All good things on the north side.
It's really spectacular. You know, I'm a little bit upset about what happened for the American football team a few hours earlier. And it's become more and more clear to me that the Cubs are in the best situation in this city, and they have a plan, and it's being executed. Obviously it hasn't been perfect, but I find it hard to believe that there's not going to be a serious amount of buzz here when the winter meetings are completed and this team starts forming together. They like playing with each other. They're playing hard. David Ross is doing a nice job. It's hard not to do a nice job when you're winning 15 out of 19.
Right. Yeah, it definitely helps. When we originally took over this show on July 5th, you know, the Cubs were in a lot different spot. They weren't doing very well at all. And there was impending trades that were looming. Some of those were made. Some of them weren't. Do you think that this winning down the stretch means something to the players that may be in the uniform on March 30th?
I don't know. I think it means more for the fans than it does the players. I think the players know what this is. I think they know what the offseason is going to bring, you know, because we're talking about, I think it's been a really important stretch here for Suzuki because every at bat for him is important. He's really kind of salvaged his season here, but I think it's more important for the fans. The fans need something to be excited about. The fans need something to rally around. And I think that that's a part of it.
I think it's safe to say that the fan base is excited, or should we take stock of that later this week? It sure seems like the meter the right way.
I think this stretch of the season, I think, has gotten fans to really get on board for this plan, because the initial tentativeness around this plan was, I don't want to sit through another rebuild. And I think fans are starting to realize that this is by far going to be the worst season that they have in the next 4 or 5 years. And they're going to end up winning 75, 76 games, 74, 75, whatever. And you know, that's not a horrible year, albeit they added it on a lot late when it didn't matter. But I think fans are starting to realize, okay, well, it's done. You know, it's like when you go to the, when you're a kid, you go to the doctor and you get a bunch of shots and it's like, oh okay, it's done. Like it's over. Like the hard part's done, you know, and now you get the good stuff from it because next year they're going to be better and they should only improve.
Of course. Yeah. And we saw even some improvement again this weekend, or really just a continuation, especially with the starting pitching. You had the S's were wild. Sampson, Smiley, and Stroman got the starts across the weekend. Sampson was masterful again Friday afternoon.
Unbelievable. It's the same outing. 7 innings, 1 earned.
Yeah, it's actually a joy that we're going to be able to see him again. He pitches the very last game of the year on Wednesday. Man, he's been a machine in that way down the stretch here. Smiley,
one of the best guys.
One of the best guys by far. Smiley went 3 innings at his return on Saturday. After he exited, Alzolay and Miley combined for 5 hitless innings out of the pen before Rodriguez and Hughes closed it out. And then Stroman has been excellent down the stretch here as well.
They're pitching at a really high level,
which was the reason that they got so far behind in April and May.
Right.
And the turnaround's dramatic.
And a huge reason they had to rebuild.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
Their lack of pitching development. To me,
I didn't anticipate that we would see that meter this year.
To me, the number one story of this season as an organization, not an individual player, Matt, is that I think the Cubs as an organization are starting to figure out run prevention. Yeah. I think, like, Sampson has had a career year. Drew Smiley has had a much better year this year than he had last year elsewhere. They didn't get a chance really to use Wade Miley. Wisniewski's come in and pitched really well. Stroman did his normal thing after a rocky start. And then they traded for a bunch of pitchers. They got rid of a ton of relievers at the deadline and turned Mark Leiter into a guy that has a below 3 ERA in the bullpen. They've turned in Hughes has been a really good weapon. The only guy that's really been a real disappointment, I would say, through the year that's in the bullpen's Rowan Wick. Right. You know, they're really starting to show. And okay, of course, there's the devil's advocate of, well, that could just be a fluke. Of course, you could say that about anything. Like, you could say about that about a lot of things in baseball. Mm-hmm. But with what they're trying to do, and how obvious they've made pitching a priority in the draft and at the trade deadline, it looks like they're starting to really gain momentum on how to figure out how to develop pitching. And outside of, you know, Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo, you know, not being good the last 2, 3, 4 years, and we'll talk about that. That was their biggest problem, was pitching development. And it looks like they're really on their way, at least from my eyes.
Yeah, that was the biggest problem by a long measure. You know, you had all the offensive players that graduated. You see what they did at the major leagues was left a lot to be desired, but then you had a whole side of the ball that was just so deficient, especially in the system. So to even think back to mid-April when the season opened, and now thinking back to this Wednesday when it's going to close, a pretty remarkable turnaround on the bump. And it's very exciting, especially when you look at the internal options.
Steele.
You look at cheap internal options. You know, Sampson, no idea what his role is going to be.
No idea.
Wisniewski is going to have to compete for a job. Nothing's going to be given.
He's going
to
throw one more time, right?
He's going to throw Monday night.
He's throwing tomorrow?
Yeah, let me get you the matchups here in a minute or two.
Oh, that'll be interesting. That'll be challenging for him. That'll be a very big test. I know the Reds aren't good, but that's a tough ballpark to pitch in if you haven't pitched there before.
And some offensive highlights this weekend.
Let me tell you something, folks. This guy can hit. Matt, do you want to go to break, or can I tell you? Can I pull up a stat for you?
Oh no, we're gonna keep running here.
Okay, can I give you a stat?
Yes.
Year one.
We're rolling.
Let me tell you something. Year one, okay? This player, Player X, finished second in the Rookie of the Year voting and made the All-Star team. He batted .287 with a .353 on base and a .435 slug. He hit 16 home runs, and he played a full 162-game season, okay? Whoa. Do you know who I'm referring to?
Is it Addison Russell?
We don't have enough time for this, okay?
Right.
So
I'm
going to go for it. It was Hideki Matsui.
I thought we were talking about Cubs.
No. Japanese player, year one, okay? Hideki Matsui turned out to be a heck of a baseball player.
Really good.
And a really good hitter. His year one, I'm going to repeat the numbers once again. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, that was a poor guess by me. Go ahead.
.287 with an on-base of, well, I didn't give you a hint. I go on base of .353, slug of .435, .788 OPS, OPS plus a .109, 16 homers. Seiya Suzuki, .267, an on base of .340, a slug of .445, an OPS almost an identical .785 with a slightly higher OPS plus a .120. He hit 14 home runs, but he also played in 50 less games. They had very, very similar year ones. And if Seiya Suzuki, if you were to tell me, give or take, Hideki Matsui, I'm taking it. And I think that's worst case. I think if this guy stays on the field, he's a star.
Wow, that's incredible right there.
Yeah, I did some homework today. And you know.
You got a good grade for it.
Yeah, and I just.
That's huge. I haven't seen that anywhere.
Well, I didn't steal it from anybody.
Right.
And let me tell you another thing.
We got to play that up. Go ahead.
I lost my train. My point is that a lot of times
you missed your train of thought.
A lot of times, these guys that are coming from a while away and have to adjust to life and all that stuff, you know, it's hard.
It is.
And I really believe that if he played a whole 150-game season, he would have hit 30 home runs or 25, 30 home runs. And I think he's going to do that next year.
Well, Matsui is easily regarded as the second best prior to the Ohtani era, second best Japanese player ever.
Yeah, behind Ichiro.
Encouraging stats for sure.
Yeah.
And an encouraging series for the Cubs. They, again, won 7 in a row. One player that will not be continuing his run with the Cubs is Jason Hayward. We learned that a month or so ago, but he got a send-off officially over the weekend at Wrigley Field, and we get into that coming up next. But first, if you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Sam and I just got our boxes of Built last weekend.
Raspberry's great.
We want to introduce you to our new favorite cookie dough chunk puffs. They have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, covered in 100% real chocolate. Plus, it's healthy for you, only 160 calories with a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to built.com to snag a box for you and the fam. It'll be the perfect treat, or you can find a real good hiding place and just hoard them for yourself. You're going to love this new Built Bar. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. So ditch the calories, the fat, and the sugar, and grab yourself a Built Bar today. Go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKEDON15. And we're back here on Locked On Cubs. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. And Jason Hayward, Sam, got his official send-off by the team. Actually, that began on Thursday. He spoke to the media for about 35 minutes before Thursday's game, mentioned how he's planning on playing on another team in 2023. We'll see if that happens. But you know, besides Jason Hayward at the plate offensively, this guy was unreal.
Good luck to Jason Hayward. One of the worst signings in the history of this great organization, but a really good guy and a really good right fielder. I feel like we've done the when they announced he was done. I have nothing more to say than what I said before, which is nice guy, root for him. Do I think he deserved a send off at Wrigley? No, I don't. You might as well give Matt Caesar and Chris Coughlin and whoever else was part of the 2016 team one, or whoever else. I don't even, you know, whatever. I don't think Coughlin was, but whatever it was. You know, in this world in 2022, I'm tired of everything. Doesn't have to be nice. Okay. It was an absolute failure, that signing. It handicapped the Cubs. He was horrendous offensively, but he played an important role on the most important team in baseball in the history of the Cubs. Was a really good right fielder, and it sounds like he served as a tremendous mentor to players. And for that, I give him credit. He never complained. He never whined. But I don't. That's the extent, Matt. I don't know where else to go. I'm old school. That was a failure. We could have used that money and been a lot better of a place.
He had some pretty strong quotage on Thursday about the bad contract too.
And what did he say? Because I really didn't pay attention to it. Or was there anything? Because I read a little bit of it, and I remember kind of saying, all right, there was no headliners there. I was kind of, you know, I mean, I don't expect him to come out and apologize, because that's not his fault. He earned that contract.
So, he definitely said all the right things for the most part. I do have one quote in front of me that I would like to read. Ready?
Yes, please.
I feel like I'm a very fortunate person to be in a select group of players that earn bad contracts, Hayward says, because there's a lot of bad contracts out there, if that's how we're looking at it, right? But to be able to show the value of myself as a person, and probably one of the toughest times I've had on the field in 16, and show that I'm here for the team to still play defense the way I play defense, run the bases, and step in and step up at multiple times when I was needed to be who I am, to be Jason Hayward, we still got a ring. It took every bit of that from me. It took that group. There was no other group that was going to get that done. So that's fine. I understand that people can say bad contract, this and that, but I also know I had my hand in a lot of winning baseball here on the north side of Chicago.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, kind of an interesting opening to the quote, but definitely an acknowledgement of what occurred.
Yeah, it's fair. I just, for me, I'm just like, you know this about me off the air, and I think our fans are starting to understand this about me. I am done with the previous era. And
right.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I will forever respect every one of those guys, but I'm done with it. There's a new era in town now. And it's time to start winning again. And I don't think every single person, like you said this perfectly on our show, at some point, the key members of that 16 team will have a statue out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If will he be on it? I'll leave that up for you. My guess would be no. But we'll honor those guys. And it doesn't matter if Chris Bryant never plays another game. He'll get his honor when that statue's
for sure.
Unveiled.
Yeah.
But I am done, and we'll talk about this on a different show, but I am done. I'm done with Hayward. I'm done. I want a new era here. If Contreras accepts the qualifying offer and the Cubs offer to him, great, because I'm never going to say no to a guy. If he can help us win, great. Ian Happ was not part of that 16 team. I am ready to move on, and I believe Jed Hoyer is too.
Yes.
And I firmly believe that one of the reasons we had to have these this year and a half is because Theo Epstein was too hesitant to move on. I've moved on. Kyle Schwarber, congrats on a 40 bunch of home runs and your 220 average. Same with Rizzo, and you know how I feel about it. But Jason Hayward, thank you. I don't know what I'm thanking you for doing your job and showing up. And there's a new era in town.
We're going to open up the mailbag coming up next. All right, we're back here on Locked On Cubs. We have a lot of fan questions. We're really excited to do this to wrap up a Monday episode. Big week for the show, as this is the last week in regular season game formation. And then who knows what the future holds for this program Going to be interesting times the offseason and exciting times.
Yeah. You know, we're going to be here.
We're going to be here. We've never done shows without games.
Yeah, we'll be all right.
Yeah. good broom in the background, huh?
Who knows for this program? Because once this season ends, I'm at Cozy. I'm out of here. God bless and good night.
All right. The first is for Big Rand.
Yeah.
The two positions I'm having problems with is third and DH. I'm not sold on Wisdom or Reyes cracking the starting lineup in 23. I have them signing Turner as a free agent, which would move Horner to second and Madrigal left out. But if they sign Bogarts, you put him at third and keep Madrigal. Any comments on the DH or third base position for next year?
Did this come from a mail or a YouTube comment?
This was to the voice line from Big Rand.
Yeah, I think
these are all from the voice line.
I think if they sign Turner, then yeah, they'll have a hole at third. I don't know who it'll be. I agree with you that it would be a hole, and there's hole. Like you say, third base and DH. I could say center field and catcher. I mean, I have no idea what they're gonna do, but once that first domino falls, that'll solve a lot. Like you said, I think they sign Correa, and if they sign Correa, maybe he plays third. Who knows? Whatever. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I don't have one. I agree with you. There's a lot of holes. There's so many options they could do. I am not sold on Wisdom or Reyes either. But if, like you said, let's say they do go Turner, let's say they do go Horner at second base, then okay, Wisdom and Reyes may fill out the rest of the lineup if they go get a Carlos Rodon and you want to give those guys a chance. I don't know. Wisdom and Reyes in the same lineup would be pretty interesting because you'd hope that if those guys were to play 120 plus games, they can combine for 50 plus homers, which could help you. But I don't know. There's so many questions position wise. We could break down a question for every single position besides for a Horner and Suzuki and Happ. So
I still don't know if Wisdom and Reyes will even be tendered a contract. I mean, they're low cost players, but I don't know that. They could be non-tender candidates for all I know.
Absolutely.
Or especially Wisdom traded, provided he has value to another club.
Absolutely.
This is just a comment. No questions here this time around from Bryce in Iowa. Really enjoyed the Mervis episode last week. Love the deep dive of farm talent from Darius Hill to Jake Slaughter to my boy, Iowa native Bryce Ball. You guys will make this offseason one of the best in recent memory with your insight. Keep up the great work and go Hawks.
Yeah, and so Bryce.
I didn't know Bryce Ball was an Iowa native. I have to look into that afterwards.
More deep dives coming in the offseason for sure. We'll have Crosby on.
a last name basis.
And go Illini. Illinois, Iowa this Saturday.
Interesting.
We may have a little situation here that we would be discussing on the show about that game, but we'll wait on that. And I appreciate the comment.
Brandon in Peoria returns. He says, "Hey guys, I was wondering with how well the Cubs have been doing lately, do you guys feel like we're ruining ourselves out of a better draft pick?
No.
Or do you believe that us winning shows free agents we are a winning team willing to compete? Thanks."
Neither. I would say the free agent thing I think is drastically overrated. If you show these guys money, they're going to come, just like John Lester did. Players are smart. Agents are smart. They know the Cubs are headed in the right direction and they're not going to try and lose again next year. As far as the draft pick goes, I was in arguments with our NYC arguments. I mean, in a very friendly way, a lot of our listeners about, "Oh, they're going to get this pick. I told you guys they weren't going to get that high of a pick. They're way better than a lot of these teams. It doesn't matter. We don't need it. I mean, yeah, depth in the farm system is great, but we've checked that box right now. Now it's time to start winning. So if it helps us 2-3% the 7-game win streak, then fine. I think it's more just more optimism for the fans, as I said earlier in the show. But No, don't worry about the draft pick. It's done. It's time to win now. And Matt, if you don't mind, I'd like at some point you to tweet at Cubs next year's slogan, hashtag game on, please.
Well, I'm in the process of building a graphic to do just that.
Okay, because I want, we better get copyright for that.
Yeah, no, we're gonna have a slice of the pie, I believe.
Yeah, game on. It's time.
Game on, or the one that I drafted today. My favorite letter is W.
Yeah, set the over under at 87.5, and let's get the bidders in.
Michael in Dallas joins us. Gentlemen, you've become
Cooper Rush. What a quarterback, huh?
Gentlemen, you've become my go-to option for Cubs Talk Radio. Great work with the Cubs Deep Farm System. Where do you think it ranks among the league's best? And do you think that this retool will lead to a longer-term success than the 2016 Cubs due to the depth of the farm system? First of all, thank you for the comment.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Dallas, a beautiful city.
The Metroplex.
I would say they're for sure in the top third, probably top 10. I think evaluators have them like in the 10 to 12 range because they don't believe they have one of the 5, 10, 15 best prospects in the game. I personally think it's one of the 5 best farm systems in baseball. I think they're loaded, and I think you're going to see it coming soon with pitcher after pitcher after pitcher after pitcher.
I think they have the number one system in baseball. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. But right. What was the second part of the question?
The second part was, do you think this will lead to longer-term success of winning?
So I think that's the plan, right? I always say the Cubs got the first half of the rebuild 100% right, and that's the part you have to get right, and that's winning a world championship, and then they completely got the second half wrong. I think the goal this time is more sustained success. Now, If they have a 7-8 year run that's very good, where they make the playoffs 6 of 7 or 7 of 8 years, but they don't win a World Series, we'll definitely look back at the original run as better. But as we know, that World Series is unpredictable. I think, to answer the question, yes, I think they are set up financially and with their farm system and learning their previous lessons for a long run at success. Maybe not 103 win success, maybe not 97, 103, 92, but more like a 91, 90, 88, 96, 94, maybe, and then you hope you get a run in one of those. But I think it's there, but they got a long way to go.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's there too. And it's there because of the presence on the mound. But we're also we're going to see some graduation offensively too. And I really think those guys have higher upside that the industry probably realizes.
I always respect an organization with a plan. Unfortunately, right now on the lakefront, never mind. Go ahead.
And finally, Nathan Rockford. Hi, guys. I've loved the shows the past couple of weeks. There's been a lot of talk what starting pitching the Cubs will add this offseason, rightfully so. I think you could almost guarantee that they will once again try to take an older relief pitcher in free agency who is considered past his prime since they've had so much success with that method in the
Absolutely.
Past. Is there anyone who will be a free agent and fits the mold you would like to see added to this team? Zach Britton and Archie Bradley are two guys I think would make sense for this team since they have had experience and success closing games in the past. Just thought it would be a good convo piece at some point down the road. Appreciate you both.
It's a really excellent point by
good suggestions. Those are good candidates for players.
So Britton's the only guy in my head that I know is a free agent next year that fits that mold. I'm not going to lie. I don't know the reliever free agency market. I'll look at it.
We'll look at it.
And Britton just hurt himself, by the way, Friday. I was actually watching that game live. He came out. First of all, great point by a guy with a great name. David Robertson, Givens, Martin, Kimbrell. There's more off the top. Tapera. They are very good at taking a reliever. Mm-hmm. And getting the best out of him. Jesse Chavez a few years back. Expect them to do it again. They'll need another guy. I mean, it just depends, though.
At least one.
If they use Thompson, Alzolay, Leiter, if they use every single one of those guys as a reliever, maybe not. But my guess, they'll get a veteran stabilizer for sure, yes.
All right. Cheap, that does
cheap,
it.
Cheap.
That does it for the mailbag. Wow. A lot of good questions and comments right there. We really Went by quickly. It's one of our longest ever. We're about to eclipse the 30-minute mark any second here.
And that's how long it takes for the Bears to matriculate down the football field.
I was just going to ask for some Bears thoughts as they go to 2-2 on the season.
Really, really concerned about the
All right. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. It was a great Monday show. We have a lot more this week, and we're
Punt
really
the football.
Excited. Be sure to hit the subscribe button for Locked On Cubs on YouTube and smash the like button, all your favorite Locked On Cubs content. And keep the questions flowing in this week.
Third 17, we're going to run the football.
834-4634. Thanks for making Locked On Cubs your first listen every day. Now make your second, Locked On MLB. Great daily sports coverage on baseball and otherwise. There's a lot of headlines in the last few days here of the season. He's Sam Olber. I'm Matt Cozy. This is Locked On Cubs.